Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. We're brought to you by SeatGeek today. We'll tell you about them in a little bit. I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. I was at Steelers Fan Fest last night, which was basically just a practice at Heinz Field. So other people that aren't near the Latrobe, or it's not as big of an excursion to get there, but it was fun. You know, we did a 2-hour broadcast as practice was going on. That was a little something different, first time that's happened. But the big story of the weekend is really the Hall of Fame. You know, it's really the big goings on, and we saw a good Hall of Fame game a few days ago, competitive. That was fun. But I just wanted to talk about this class, and it's one of my favorite topics, to be honest with you. I love Hall of Fame talk, and we've done quite a few shows dedicated to Hall of Fame situations here since we started this podcast. And I would think at this point you guys realize I have the utmost respect for Hall of Famers and the Hall of Fame, and I was just there a couple weeks ago and all those good things. But I do think as classes go, the class of 2017's a little weak, a little bit watered down, you know, that it's not as strong, as easy Hall of Famers as most classes. To me, for those who don't know, Morton Anderson, Terrell Davis, Kenny Easley, Jerry Jones, Jason Taylor, LaDainian Tomlinson, Kurt Warner. So those seven gentlemen all were inducted this past weekend, gave their speeches, all those great things, and are now Hall of Famers, Gold Jackets, all the honors in the world, all the respect from me you can get. Congratulations to all. However, I think of those seven, only LT is one you can say, we all agree he's a Hall of Famer. You're like, that guy's a Hall of Famer in any class, no doubt about it. There's really no conversation against him. He's an easy Hall of Famer. And every year there seems to be 2, 3, 4 of those, in my opinion. And then the others are debatable. And to me, that's why I think this class is a little late, a little light, is LT's the easy one. He's the headliner here. He's a top 10 NFL running back of all time. A great player, you know, a transcendent player in terms of a receiver and a do-it-all guy. And if you had a fantasy draft, he was your first pick year after year after year. Scored a million touchdowns. And I urge you, I also wrote an article about Tomlinson, Davis, Taylor, and Warner. They're kind of the highest profile players of the group for the score. Go check that out. I kind of just did my synopsis of those four. And I also did an article for them as a follow-up of four guys that I think belong. And I'll get to them in a minute. And honestly, I think, you know, the four guys that belong, well, let's just cut to it. I think they deserve to be in there over Terrell Davis. And again, Terrell Davis is a great player. I mean, all these guys are great players. We're splitting hairs here. But Davis's rookie year, he rushed for a little over 100 yards. He was a good back. He was a quality back, had a good year. The next three seasons, he was ridiculous. He was the first pick in every fantasy draft. I mean, he went for over 2,000. He was unbelievable in the playoffs. He was an elite performer. He led his team to Super Bowls. You know, he extended Elway's greatness. The scheme situation, something that's often brought up. I don't hold that against him as much as some others do. What I hold against him is he had three Hall of Fame years and one other good one and nothing after that. And because of injury, I mean, it's not that he couldn't play anymore or he forgot how to play the position. It was because of injury. To me, that's not a Hall of Famer. And I think I've told you guys before that recently the, quote, worst running backs in the Hall of Fame to me are Curtis Martin and Jerome Bettis. And I think both those guys are clearly more deserving than Terrell Davis. Tomlinson's more deserving than all of them. Like I said, he's an easy one. I mean, I think this is kind of telling that the first 7 years Davis was eligible for Hall of Fame consideration, he didn't even get to the semifinals. He wasn't even a top 25 finalist for that honor. Did he get better since then? I mean, again, I think it's just sort of a weak class, and he benefited from that. So, I mean, I don't besmudge anyone for getting in the Hall of Fame. He was a great player. He was one of the best, you know, players in the league for 3 years. But it was only 3 years. And I know there's that Gale Sayers argument out there. Gale Sayers was obviously before my time and probably before all your time, most of your times. But his highlight tape was, wow. You know, you watch, I mean, I understand that you can embellish things, but you go watch the NFL special on Gale Sayers, you go, whoa, that looks like a special, special Hall of Fame back. I don't think you say that about Davis. I think you say, boy, he's really good. But he was only really good for 3 years. That leads me to Morton Anderson. And if a kicker belongs in the Hall of Fame, it's Morton Anderson. I have no problem with him going. I think he deserves to be in. But I think it also proves my point a little bit that this class was a little lighter. You know, that for him to get, what he didn't get in the last couple years, you know, because Marvin Harrison, Tim Brown, Orlando Pace, and those guys were getting in ahead of him. Guys that were easier. You know, my problem with Morton Anderson is this, is yes, he belongs, but for him to go, that leaves somebody out. And this is a perfect year to do it because, you know, I mean, if he would have left Terrell Davis out, I wouldn't be complaining as much. You know what I mean? So he's a Hall of Fame kicker, like a Ray Guy or somebody like that. But I would just have a hard time checking his box over some of the dudes I think that belong in that aren't in. That also kind of brings me to Kurt Warner. And I think Warner is very much a on-the-fence Hall of Fame quarterback. And I leaned towards in. But generally speaking, for Hall of Fame standards, I want to be... This is a no-brainer. You know, I mean, yes, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, just somebody asks you out of the blue, is Aaron Rodgers a Hall of Famer? Yeah. Is Kurt Warner a Hall of Famer? Yeah, probably. And the thing I like most about him isn't his story, and he was packing groceries and all that wonderful stuff. It's he was great for the Rams, and then there was a break, and then he was great for the Cardinals. And led his team to, you know, the promised land, was one of the absolute best quarterbacks in the league. So, to me, and again, this is, you know, prettiest girl at the beauty pageant type of situation, or ugliest girl at the beauty pageant situation, he should be kind of the bottom line for Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Like, if you look at all the Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame, I'll probably take 90% of them over Kurt Warner. You know what I mean? But again, I think he belongs in, unlike Davis to me. Tomlinson was easy. Anderson belongs in, but you got to leave somebody out, and what you shouldn't leave out is the SeatGeek app. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's preseason time, baby. A couple days from now, we're going to be talking live game action all the time on this podcast. You need to get the games by going to SeatGeek. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. It's great. We've used it for a long time. I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy tickets for my Penguin playoff games. I told you about that before. It's designed to make your buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money for searching by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Easy one. I mean, it's an easy one. He's a Hall of Famer. You know what I was talking about? Easy Hall of Famer. SeatGeek. Use the app. Best of all, this is what you guys get. You get 20 bucks off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter their promo code LONFL. That's promo code LONFL for 20 bucks off your first SeatGeek purchase. Very good. So, I wanted to talk about these other guys, and I wanted to talk about the four that I think got left out. All right. Thank you to SeatGeek. Jerry Jones. I feel like every year you should have a owner, a front office guy, you know, Bill Polian, a commissioner, the Sables, you know, some people that have gone in lately that aren't players, a non-player, even a coach. I guess maybe I almost feel like the coaches should have their own wing, and then there should be like contributors, which is kind of true. But I think every year one of these guys should go in, and I got no qualms with Jones. I mean, I think the detractors are he's a look at me guy. The great teams of the 90s, he meddled too much with, and he, you know, slowed down the progress with on his inability to get along with Jimmy Johnson. Or is Johnson to blame? I mean, I wasn't there. I mean, but those are the detractors for Jones. But Jones is one of the most prominent owners in the league. His teams have been highly successful, especially those 90s teams. He's generated a lot of buzz, a lot of money, a lot of revenue for the sport. He's grown the sport. To me, I guess that's a Hall of Fame owner. You know, I mean, I don't exactly know where you draw the line of who's a borderline Hall of Fame owner or who doesn't make it, but he counts, in my opinion. Kenny Easley, took him a while, and I was young whenever he was in his prime. I was born in 73, but I always remember him being a premier player on Seahawks teams that back then people didn't see on TV all that often. One of the lesser-known teams in the league. Same was true for Cortez Kennedy later. Steve Largent had that issue going on too. But unlike a Largent, you don't have numbers for safeties that are, you know, to back you all that well. But from what I remember and what my history of the sport, which is something I take pride in, he was one of the very best and deserved. I would say he's the one I feel the least strongly about one way or another. And that's probably true for most of you out there. Jason Taylor, again, I think he's kind of like Warner, a borderline Hall of Famer that I lean towards. Yes, not a blow-you-away, easy one. Great player, lasted a long time. I think this is kind of interesting because he is from my hometown in Pittsburgh. And oh, by the way, Pennsylvania has more Hall of Famers than any state in the country. If you believe that, how about that? Some serious, and most of them are from my side of the state, Pittsburgh area. But Jason Taylor went to Woodland Hills High School here in Pittsburgh and was homeschooled. So he didn't really go to Woodland Hills High School. He was in that district and played for Woodland Hills eventually, but he was a basketball player. And, you know, the head coach, Coach Novak, it's a storied organization. I mean, Steve Breston, and there's many, many pros have gone from Woodland Hills High School to the NFL. Via wherever, often Pitt or Michigan or whatever. But anyway, Taylor was one of them. But he was a basketball player, homeschooled. They get him to start playing football at Woodland Hills late in his high school career as a wide receiver, which you can imagine. I mean, imagine this 6'5 guy, if he was 190, 200 pounds, something like that, I'm guessing, as a 17-year-old or 16-year-old. Didn't get a lot of offers. Goes to Akron and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Finally, he's a third-round pick. When I was at Akron, we honored him, and I met him. He looks, and I've met a lot of professional football players, he looks like a Greek god. You know, I mean, he is a chiseled, good-looking cat, just to say the least. I mean, he kind of reminded me of Eddie George when I met him, too. Like, these guys could be underwear models or, you know, they could be superstar just for their looks and their build. But he's exactly what you look for. I mean, he is long. He's chiseled. He had a really, really good career. My only hesitation, and again, this is no knock on him. I mean, I think he has a strong resume for Hall of Fame induction. He's not Lawrence Taylor, you know, but Kevin Green just went in. I think him and Green are probably about equal. But there's an awful lot of high-end edge rushers from this generation. And I'm wondering if that's going to be the next logjam. You know, like everyone talks about, like, there's too many wide receivers, and there's a big logjam at the wide receiver position. That's why it took Harrison so long and Tim Brown. And I guess I get that. I mean, the rules have changed. You know, we were just talking Pittsburgh terms. Lynn Swann is a Hall of Famer, and his numbers do not warrant it, especially by today's numbers. Early in his career, he led the Steelers with like 29 catches one year when they won the Super Bowl. I mean, we were talking about Antonio Brown, how he's going to buzz past all the Stallworth, Ward, Swan type records. the game's changed an awful lot. I mean, Lynn Swann would catch more than 29 passes a year if he was the Steelers wide receiver right now. So, you know, so that's my point with, and maybe there's, you know, sack numbers are up. I don't know if they are or not. I mean, I just think that there's a bevy of really good edge rushers from this generation, and will they all get in? And I just don't think Taylor's the best of them. You know, I mean, I think he's a really good one. But if he's the standard, there's a lot of guys at that position that are going to be flooding the NFL soon. I mentioned before that, did I touch everybody? For some reason, I think I forgot one of the dudes. Warner, Taylor, Jones, Tomlinson, Easley, Davis. Sorry about my Davis comments, Broncos fans, and Morton. Okay. So, yeah, we did touch all of that class.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right. So the four names that I said got shortchanged, that should have went in ahead of Davis in particular, and I'm singling him out. But and usually my list of Hall of Fame snubs is longer than this, too. So just as it goes to show that this particular year just kind of landed with a little bit lighter crop than usual. And again, I think that helped Anderson and Davis, and maybe Easley too, you know, maybe Warner too. He wasn't a first ballot guy. But the four that I think are deserved slash snubs, T.O.'s the most obvious. Like, T.O. to me is like how I describe Tomlinson. Like, that's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I understand the negatives. Oh, he wrecked locker rooms. He was on a lot of teams. Dude, he was the best or second best receiver for like 12 years. I mean, his stats are crazy. Covering him would have been an absolute nightmare. He was great in, you know, clutch situations. So he's getting snubbed, and he's more deserving, in my opinion, than anyone in this class but Tomlinson. And that one's just a crime to me. I don't understand it. We're going to make him wait. Can't let him be a first ballot guy. What's the difference? His resume doesn't change. Don Coryell, I think, belongs. And at this point, he hasn't gotten in. I don't know that he ever will. Absolutely revolutionary. The passing game. Created a system, the numbering system that many teams have used for so long. Orchestrated those Fouts-led Joyner, Jefferson, Chandler offenses that were so fun to watch as a kid that I actually had a Fouts jersey in a Steeler household. Coryell, to me, is exactly what you want in terms of highly influential coaches that were very successful, that did new things. Alan Faneca, I don't have as big a problem with. You know, my assignment was come up with four Hall of Fame snubs. I think Faneca deserves it. I think he'll eventually get in. Guards are tough to make a case for. Usually it's, he went to X amount of Pro Bowls. He won this many Super Bowls. I mean, Super Bowl's really that important for a guard. But for much of my life, Faneca and Hutchinson were the best guards in the league. And were great, great players for an extended amount of time. The very best at their position. To me, that's how you. I mean, that's an easy Hall of Famer too. And I think he will get in the next couple of years and is deserved. You know, absolutely. The last one is Edgerrin James, and I think James is more deserving than Davis, less deserving than Tomlinson. Do it all, stud from the beginning. I'm talking about his Colts years, but he had like eight really good years with the Colts. I mean, you talked about the fantasy draft. I mean, he's the second pick in every fantasy draft, you know, behind Tomlinson. Or, you know, he was picked ahead of Ricky Williams. And that kind of shocked people, but it fit exactly what the Colts wanted to do with Manning-led offenses. And yeah, he had a good supporting cast, but he was highly, highly productive as a runner and a receiver. I think Edge is kind of at that Martin Bettis level of Hall of Fame running backs, but to me, that's a Hall of Fame running back. That's a wrap. Good stuff, everyone. We will get back at it tomorrow. Not exactly sure what we have on tap. We haven't done a Twitter Thursday in a while. Maybe we'll make it Twitter Tuesday this week and just get some a lot of feedback from you guys, the goings-on around the league. All right. Talk to you later.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.